Chapter 3. The Digital Declutter. If I have persuaded you that digital minimalism is a good thing, the next step is to discuss how to achieve it. In my experience, if you try to change your habits one at a time, this does not work well. Technology is so easy to use that you will end up where you started. Instead, I advise a sudden and total change. This change needs to happen in a short period of time, and you need to believe in it strongly so that the results will last. My name for this process is the Digital Declutter. This is how it works. 1. Decide on a 30-day period when you will take a break from all the optional technology in your life. 2. During this 30-day break, experience and rediscover activities which you find enjoyable and which have value for you. 3. At the end of the break, begin using optional technology again, but start by not using it at all. For each kind of technology that you start using, decide how valuable it is in your life and whether you can increase that value. This experiment is similar to when you declutter your house. You tidy up or remove habits which distract you and which you have collected over time without really thinking about it. Then you replace these habits with new ways of behaving. This new behavior will be something which you will have thought about carefully. It will match your beliefs and values instead of damaging them. In early December 2017, I sent an email to all the people on my mailing list to explain the main ideas of the digital decluttering process. "I'm looking for volunteers," I wrote. "I need people who will be able to take part in a digital declutter during the whole of January and report to me during the month." I expected 40 to 50 brave readers to volunteer. My guess was wrong. More than 1,600 people agreed to do it. In February, I started to collect reports from the participants. I wanted to find out what rules they had made for themselves about how they use technology during the 30-day declutter. I also wanted to find out how they had managed it. I was especially interested in the decisions that they made when they were reintroducing technology into their lives. After I had received and read hundreds of these reports, two things became clear. First, the digital declutter works. People were surprised to learn how much their lives had been taken over by technology. When they removed all the distractions and then started rebuilding their digital lives from nothing, it felt like they were removing a psychological heavy weight, which they had not known that they were carrying. They ended the digital declutter with a new way of using digital technology, which felt right to them. The second thing I found out was that the digital declutter process is difficult. A number of participants stopped the process before the 30 days had finished. Most of these early exits were not because people were not strong enough. After all, everyone who took part in the process chose to do so because they wanted to improve their lives. A more usual reason was that people made mistakes while they were trying to follow the process. For example, some people gave themselves rules which were either not clear enough or too strict. Another mistake was not planning what they could use or do to replace technology during the declutter period. Finally, people who thought that a digital detox was like a normal detox, where you take a break from your digital life and then go back to life as normal, also had problems. A temporary detox is not nearly as good as a permanent change in how you live your life. It is much easier for your mind to break a temporary detox when things become difficult. In the rest of this chapter, I will give some examples of the three steps of the declutter process. Step 1. Define your technology rules. During the 30 days of your digital declutter, you should take a break from optional technologies in your life. First, You make a list of the technologies you use, and then you decide which technologies are optional. When I say technology, I am talking about the things we call new technologies, including apps, websites, and other digital tools that are delivered through a computer screen or cell phone. These are things that are meant to entertain you, inform you, or connect you to other people. Text messaging, Instagram, and Reddit are examples of things you need to think about when you are preparing your digital declutter. Your microwave oven, radio, or electric toothbrush are not. Video games are an interesting special case. They are not really new technology, as we have had them for many years, long before the internet and smartphones arrived. But many people, especially young men, do get addicted to them in a way that is similar to addiction to newer technologies. If you think that video games are an important part of your life, you need to add them to your list. Television is another special case. Before my declutter experiment, I was not sure whether streaming Netflix and similar channels was an optional technology. The replies I got from my participants were very clear. "You should include it," they told me. When you have decided which technologies to put on your list, you then have to decide which of them you will be able to take a break from for the whole 30 days of the declutter process. In other words, you need to decide which of them are really optional for you. To do this, you have to ask yourself the question, if I did not have this technology, would it make my working life or home life difficult in a serious way? Only those technologies for which the answer to this test question is yes are not optional. You need to stop using all the others on your list. If you use this test question, you will find that most of the technologies that you use for your work are not optional. For example, if you stopped checking your work email, this would be bad for your job. So, you cannot use me as an excuse for not reading your work emails for a month. Another example is one of my participants, a music professor, who has to look at Facebook Messenger to help him to find new students. Of course, this is not optional for him. In your personal life, there are also situations where technology is not optional. If your daughter always texts you to say she is ready to be picked up from soccer practice, then it is still okay to use text messages for this purpose. In any situation where not using a technology would damage your family relationships, then it is fine to use it. One example is when a person's husband or wife is traveling overseas. However, you should not confuse not optional with not convenient. For example, some of my participants said that they needed to keep using instant messaging tools like WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger because this was the easiest way to stay in contact with friends overseas. This might be true, but in many cases, these relationships are strong enough to survive a month when you message each other less often. In fact, when you lose non-important contact with friends overseas, this can help you to decide which of your online friends are really important to you. My final suggestion is to use special procedures called operating procedures for technologies which are mainly optional, but which you might need to use for a few special reasons. These operating procedures tell you exactly how and when you can use a particular technology. This means you can use a technology for a special reason without being able to use it all the time. Many of my participants used these procedures. For example, a writer called Mary, who works from home, wanted to take a break from compulsively texting her family. "I'm from a large and very texty family," she explained to me. The problem was that when her husband traveled, which he did a lot, he sometimes sent Mary texts which needed quick replies. So she set her phone so that it gave a special sound when a text from her husband came in, but it was silent for other texts. Another participant, Mike, was checking his emails all the time. So he stopped the emails on his phone and only checked them on his desktop computer. Brooke decided that she wanted to stop looking at the internet. But she kept two exceptions to this rule: checking her emails and shopping online. A professor called Nathaniel, who was worried he was watching too much TV, decided to have a limit of only 2 programs of any TV series per week. I think that about 30% of the rules that the participants used in my digital declutter were about operating procedures. The remaining 70% of the rules totally stopped using particular technologies. Step 2. Take a 30-day break. Now that you have defined your technology rules, the next step of the digital declutter is to follow these rules for 30 days. You will probably find that life without optional technologies is difficult at first. Your mind will expect digital input and entertainment, so you might feel uncomfortable once these inputs are no longer there in your daily life. Many of the participants in my experiment said that these feelings of discomfort got weaker after a week or two. For example, a young participant called Daria admitted that, during the first few days of the experiment, she would compulsively get out her phone. Then she would realize that she had removed all the social media and news apps. The only thing left on her phone that she could check for new information was the weather. In the first week, she told me, I knew what the weather was like every hour in 3 to 4 different cities. Her compulsion to browse something, it did not matter what, was too strong for her to stop. However, after 2 weeks, she reported, I was no longer interested in checking anything online. As I mentioned earlier in this chapter, this process is not just a detox. It is also very important for you to use your 30 days to find out what is important to you and what you enjoy doing instead of going online. For many people, their compulsive phone use hides the fact that they do not know how to use their free time well. If you don't plan to spend your time doing different things, life without your phone can quickly become boring, and this will stop you from getting the benefits of digital minimalism. Another reason why it is important to use this time to find out what you enjoy is that this will help you when you start to reintroduce technology at the end of the process. The good news is that the participants in my experiment found it easier than expected to restart the activities which they used to enjoy before they became distracted by their screens. For example, a graduate student called Uniza was spending her evenings browsing Reddit. During her declutter, she used this time for reading books that she borrowed from both her school and local library. I finished 8.5 books that month, she told me. I could never have thought about doing that before. Another participant, Melissa, finished only 3 books during her 30 days, but she also tidied up all her clothes, arranged dinners with her friends, and also organized more face-to-face conversations with her brother. I wish that he had been a participant in the experiment too, she told me, because he watched his phone the whole time we were talking. Step 3. Reintroduce technology. After your 30-day break, it will be time to bring digital technologies back into your life. This is more difficult than you might imagine. Some of the participants in my experiment thought that the process was only a detox, so they started using all of their technologies again at the end of the 30 days. This was a mistake. The purpose of this final step is to start from nothing and only let back into your life technology which you really need. This process will only create permanent change in your life if you are careful about this. Because of this, for each optional technology which you are thinking about bringing back into your life, you need to ask yourself this question: does this technology allow me to do something which I really value? This is the only reason why you should let one of these tools back into your life. If a tool has only some value to you, it is not important. For example, you might decide that browsing Twitter because you are bored is not valuable to you. On the other hand, you might decide that looking at your cousin's baby photos on Instagram does match your values because your family is important to you. When you have asked and answered this first question, you then need to ask yourself a more difficult second one. Is this technology the best way for me to do something which I really value? Think about the example of your cousin's baby photos. You could decide that browsing these photos on Instagram might be acceptable for you because you really value your family. But now you need to think about whether Instagram is really the best tool for this. The answer is probably no. Something as simple as calling your cousin every month would be a much better way of valuing your family connections. If your technology passes the test of these two questions, then there is a final question to ask yourself before you let it back into your life. How am I going to use this technology from now and into the future to increase its value to me and reduce its harm? Many companies which create and sell digital technology want to get you to use their products regularly. Most people start using a technology for a particular purpose. So, these companies change and develop their products to make you want to use them much more than you had intended. Digital minimalists fight this by thinking carefully about when and how they use digital tools in their lives. They would never simply say, "I use Facebook because it helps my social life." Instead, they would say something like, "I check Facebook each Saturday on my computer to see what my close friends and family are doing. I don't have the app on my phone. I removed some names from the list of friends, so now I only have my real friends on the list." Here are the three ways to screen optional technology before you let it back into your life. How to screen digital technology. To allow technology back into your life at the end of the digital declutter, it must 1. Make it possible for you to do something which you really value. Some benefit is not enough. 2. Be the best way to use technology for this reason. If it is not, replace it with something better. 3. Let you decide when and how to use it. You can use these 3 points to screen any new technology which you are thinking of trying, but they are especially useful after a digital declutter. One of my participants, D, was worried about how addicted he had become to checking the news online. "I stopped looking at all news during my declutter, and I loved it," he said. When the declutter ended, he realized that he could not continue to avoid all news. So now he checks just one news website once a day. Mike decided to replace digital news with an older technology, the radio. And Ramel now has a newspaper delivered to his room at New York University. Many of the participants in my experiment ended up leaving the social media platforms that used to take up so much of their time. However, some participants reintroduced social media for special purposes. Mariana, for example, limits herself to checking social media once a week, during the weekend. Enrique did something similar with Twitter. Ramel and Terald decided that it was enough for them to take their remaining social media apps off their phones. Because it was more difficult for them to look at social media on their computers, this meant they only used it for the most important purposes. Sometimes, participants happily returned to their optional technologies after the experiment, but then they discovered that they no longer liked them. Kate described this experience to me. "I ran back to Facebook, and then, after 30 minutes of pointless browsing, I looked up and thought to myself, 'Why am I doing this? It's boring. It isn't adding anything to my life.'" some participants found unusual ways of using digital media. Abby removed the web browser from her phone. "I decided I didn't need to know the answer to everything straight away," she said. She then bought a paper notebook to write ideas when she is bored on the subway. Caleb set a time limit for his phone. He cannot use it between 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. Ron limited himself to looking at just two websites which he checks regularly. This is much better than the 40 or more he used to check. Rebecca changed her life by buying a watch. This might not sound much to older readers, but for Rebecca, who is 19, it was really important. "I thought that about 75% of the time I wasted was because I looked at the time on my phone and then started browsing something else," she explained.